All right, I've got a few things just that I want to mention before we get started into the message. You can be turning in your Bibles, by the way, as I do this, to John chapter 6, in interest of time. John chapter 6. I need to make a correction. Someone mentioned to me, and they're exactly right. Today I've been saying that the Haiti Relief Dinner is next Sunday. It's actually the following Sunday. Anybody catch that? Yeah, good. Why didn't you flag me down? You were being polite, thank you. So just keep that in mind, the 30th, not next week. So be aware of that 2 weeks from now. Also, want to ask you to be in prayer. I will be gone this week to a conference at ABWE in Pennsylvania. Brandon Van Streen and I are going together, and this is on teaching. It's called Moving Beyond Lecture. And so it's going to, we're going to leave on Wednesday, and we're going to get back, Lord willing, on Saturday. We're getting a rental car and heading out there, and the conference is for a couple of days. And just a really good conference on teaching. And I sometimes feel as a pastor that, you know, I can easily get into a rut, and I feel like sometimes you need some things just to kind of jar you a little bit. And Brandon is a budding teacher, and so we're going out together on that. So keep us in prayer for that. And just pray as well. I haven't told Brandon this. He's driving both ways because I have a sermon to prepare for that next Sunday. So I'm not even going to put my name on the driver's list for that car. Just kidding. Anyway, something else as well. We have 3 cards left for prayer. Who wants one? All right. These are all guys. So Raj Vandebunt. All right, and we have Jim Zeidema, and we have Kevin Hartwick. Thank you. Could you pass that down that direction? Thank you. All right, isn't that easy? All right. So thank you for praying for our kids, our teens, our young adults in this way. And I want to know, John Tilma, are you in the back? Is it John back there? No, it's not. Okay, all right. Okay, then I'm just going to leave it as it is. Okay, so I've got a question as we get started. I want us to stop and think about what our resources are here at Jamestown Baptist Church. What resources has God given us to use for Him? Let's start talking. People, the Word of God. The Holy Spirit. What else? What do we use to do ministry? People, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, what? Say again? The church, the whole, you mean the building? The facility, right, good. The library. Spoken like a true librarian, surely many. Once a librarian, always a librarian, right? What else? What are some other resources God has given us here at Jamestown? He has given us some money, let's say that, right? That's how these lights are going. What other resources has He given us? He's given us a bus. He's given us phones. He's given us computers. He's given us an office. What else has He given us? A what? A good board. Hey, let's give our board a round of applause. All right? I have to tell you, at any given time, there are things going on behind the scenes that God is using our board to keep us together. And so we're thankful for our board, okay? What else? What's that, Shirley? Wait a minute, Shirley, that's 2. You can only have 1, okay? No, okay, go ahead. What was that? Caring elders. Elders who go and change light bulbs, right? I heard somebody else back here. Your pastors, okay? All right. What else? Say again. Choir. We've got our choir, okay? Kids, a growing church. Yes, we have a growing community. That's a resource, and we want to reach that. Not all churches have a growing community. Some churches live in a receding community, okay? What I want you to see is this. We're in a passage right now in the Gospel of John. As we've been studying our way through John, we're in a passage where a person offers up to God, to Jesus, something very, very small, And God does something very, very big with it. And one little person offers up the little thing that this little person has and reaches thousands of people. Have I given it away yet? Yeah, well, let's read together then. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. See, everybody wanted to follow Christ, not necessarily because they believed in him, but because they wanted a sign. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" I want you to pause for a second. A great multitude, 12 disciples, and Jesus looks at Philip and says, "Where shall we buy bread that they may eat?" Why do you think Jesus asks that question? Why? Verse 6 says so. But this he said to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for the resources that you have given us. And Lord, to many in the world, many Christians in other countries, they would look at the resources we have here at Jamestown and they would be shocked by how much we have. But Father, in the scope of reaching the lost around us, sometimes we feel like, what can we do? I pray that you would help us tonight to see what we could do. Lift up our eyes, Father, tonight to see what each one of us can do with what you've given us to reach the lost. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. By the way, I want to read verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." That's the point of the whole miracle. This is one of Jesus' signs, and he wanted them to see that he was the Messiah. But I want to talk to you about God's provision. God's provision is a wonderful thing. And I want to talk to you as we look at this. Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough to serve God. And so I see a mathematical equation going on here, and I see verses 1 through 9, Philip is figuring up the math, right? Now think about this. How many loaves of bread do we have? Somebody tell me. 5. How many fish do we have? 2. How many people do we have? How many? All right. So wait. Somebody, Ryan, you said something that was really important for once. No, just kidding. You missed that, Ryan. Okay, sorry. Okay, so what did he, what? How many? What was it? 5,000 men. So if there were 5,000 men, there were probably their wives and kids with them, right? So there might have been up to 10,000 people, might have been up to 12,000 people. We don't know, but there were thousands and thousands of people. 5 loaves, 2 fish. And we look, and Jesus turns around, and he says to Philip, "Where are we going to find enough money to buy bread to feed all these people?" And so that's a question. Now, how long have the disciples have been with Jesus? They've been with him, if we figure this right, for over a year. Maybe closer to 2 years, depending upon how you figure it. By now, they've seen Jesus do quite a few miracles. Let's talk about some of the miracles. What have they seen Jesus do for miracles? They've seen at least three miracles. What was the first one? The wedding of Cana. What was the second one? He healed a boy from many miles away. Remember that one? And the third one, they saw with their own eyes as Jesus made a lame man walk at the pool of Bethesda. Remember that? So they've seen at least three miracles. And here we are. Jesus is asking them, he's about to show them another one. Okay? And you would think that, you know, if Jesus can do all that, he can surely feed all these people. And there's a reason that Jesus asks Philip the question. He's trying to prove or test Philip. Philip, do you believe me? Now, how many of us find ourselves in tests at times where we feel a lack, where we feel like, I can't do this? Sometimes we feel a lack in our own personal lives. Sometimes, I'm going to put this in the context of a ministry, because Jesus is asking them to do a ministry. Sometimes we look and we say, I can't do that ministry. Sometimes as a church, we think, we can't reach this community. We can't reach Grand Rapids. We can't reach this world because we don't have enough resources. I think I've mentioned it to you before, but when I first entered the ministry, I remember in the first couple of months, I started calculating how many sermons I was going to have to preach. And I realized it was about, 150 every year. And it started to scare me. And I said, I can't do that. I don't have the resources. You might look at your marriage and you say, I don't have the resources. You might look at something else in your life. I don't have the resources to do this. And God often allows us to have a lack so that he is testing us to see if we trust that he really can do what he's asking us to do. So Jesus knew what he was going to do. He just wanted to show Philip his own faith. And it came woefully short, Philip's faith did. Now, Philip does the math in verses 5 through 7. He says, 200 denarii, your text might say 200 pennyworth. A denarius was 1 day's wage for a common worker. So we're talking about 200 days' wages of a common worker to buy enough food for this crowd of people just to feed them that one evening. That's a lot of money. These disciples didn't have that kind of money laying around. And something that we need to be aware of, and to Philip, this problem is like a mountain. He can't see how Jesus is going to use them to meet this need. And sometimes we need to be aware of our own lack. We are needy, are we not? We're so used to being independent. We're so used to being able to solve the problem. We're so used to being able to really come up with our own solution because we're really smart and because we're really experienced and because we're really good at what we do and we're really skilled and we're really this and that. And God says, no, look at your lack. You don't have what it takes. Feeling inadequate can be a very good thing. You know that? It can be a very good thing. If in feeling inadequate, you are driven to Christ and to receive resources from him, that inadequacy is a good thing. Now, if that inadequacy drives you to hold back and in fear not do anything, well, that's not a good thing. But this inadequacy is going to drive Philip and the other disciples to step forward and to trust in God and to see God do some amazing things. And so we find ourselves wanting to do something for God. I think these disciples wanted to do something for Christ. We do the math, and we say, I just don't have enough whatever it takes to do this. I don't have enough wisdom. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough whatever it is. I don't have enough skills. Sometimes we even lack the desire to do something. So needy is one of the best ways to describe us, and I think that's what describes Philip. And Philip looks over the crowd, he says, you know what? He says, there's really not enough money. Verse 7, you just hear the despair, the incredulousness in his voice. Verse 7, he says, look, 200 days' wages isn't going to feed all these people. Okay? So our only recourse is to give what little we have to God, right? Isn't that our only recourse? Jesus tells them to feed these people. And all they have to feed these people are these 5 loaves and 2 fish. So what are they going to feed the people? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Verses 8 and 9, they locate this small boy. They do some looking. They do some research. And what you see is a very poor offering at the best. And I can just see someone saying, well, I don't have that much to give to God. You might look at your life and you say, I don't have anything to give to God. I don't have anything. All of my life is broken. All of my talents are nothing. I have nothing to give. And you know what God's not asking you to do is to give something you don't have. I remember when my brother and sister-in-law, Tony and Tara Sutton, my wife's brother and sister-in-law, some of you might know them. Tony and Tara went to Papua New Guinea, and you know, when you see missionaries go, often when they get up in front, what do you want to hear when a missionary gives a report? You want to hear passion, right? Don't you? You want to hear vision. You want to see big pie graphs that they're going to reach these many people and they're going to do this, and you want to hear them really fired up, and you say, okay, I'll give money to them. Do you know what Tara, my sister-in-law, said? She said, you know, and if you know Tara, you know that she likes American life. She likes comfort. She likes chocolate. She likes shopping. She likes the Mall of America. They live in Minnesota. They had 2 small children at the time. There was going to be no house, no home there to meet them in Papua New Guinea. And no stores to go to, no chocolate to enjoy right off. And here's what she said, I remember. She said, you know, I really didn't have this burning desire to reach lost people, and I really didn't have any love for lost people. What would you think of a missionary who said that? Would you support them? Probably not. No compelling motivation to go to the field like you always hear about missionaries having. As a matter of fact, she said, I probably would have stayed home if the Lord had made that clear. I really would have loved to stay home. But she said, the only thing that I had to offer God at that moment was enough strength to just get on the plane. That's all I had. Is that enough? Wait a minute, you just told me that you wouldn't support somebody like that. Is that enough? When all the strength you've got is to step up to the plane and get on and let it fly you to the mission field. I want to tell you, if you would not have supported that couple, there's a whole tribe of individuals in Wewak, Papua New Guinea, who would have not heard and received the gospel because a huge portion of the tribe did. Here's a lady who says, I don't have a passion for souls. I don't have a passion to, all I know is I love the Lord and I'm going to step up on that plane and that's all I can give him. And as a result of that, there are many, many people who got saved. Simple obedience. Give God what little you have. What do you have tonight? What little do you have? Give that to the Lord. You might say, well, I'm so weak and I'm so messed up and I'm so this. No, just give it to God. Not the smartest thing in the world. That's fine. You might say, I can't get up and speak. That's okay. Just give whatever you have to the Lord. Give the 5 loaves. Give the 2 fish. Let him multiply that. Give what you can. And I believe what Jesus Christ is telling Philip is, how much do you think it's going to cost? Give me what you've got, and I'll make up the difference. So my wife gave me a gift. I like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I read about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I get courage from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And she bought me his autobiography, Volume 2. And on one of the first few pages, here's what he says about serving Christ. He says, as long as there is breath in our bodies, let us serve Christ. As long as we can think, as long as we can speak, as long as we can work, let us serve him. Let us even serve him with our last gasp. And if it be possible, let us try to set some work going that will glorify him when we are dead and gone. Let us scatter some seed that may spring up when we are sleeping in the cemetery. I like that. Give him what you've got. With your last gasp, give him a prayer. Give him a song. Give him a word to someone about Christ. Give what you have. So that's the first point. Philip figures the math. It doesn't figure up. And Jesus says, just give me what you've got. The second point, verses 10 through 15, Jesus feeds the multitude. They gave what they had into Jesus' hands. Verse 11 says that Jesus takes the loaves. And that's the best place for any resources you've got is in Jesus' hands. There's no panic in Jesus' voice. How are we going to feed all these people? Oh no, what are we going to do? He just takes the loaves, blesses it, and starts passing. Right? It's pretty simple. That's a miracle. Did Jesus create bread and fish out of nothing? Well, I don't know. In a way, no, because he already had the five loaves and the two fish. But in a way, yes, because now he's got more than what he had before. I don't know how he did it. He just did it. He allowed them to have a part. He could have said, okay, disciples, I'm going to make this bread appear, and you pass it out. But no, he gave them the joy of having a part in this ministry. And so he gives you a joy, the joy of having a part. Maybe you can teach just this much. And so you give that to the Lord, and you see that he takes that, and he multiplies it, and you say, wow, this is amazing. And he gives us the joy of a multiplication that is far greater than we can think possible when we give him what we've got to serve. And so think about that in your life. Think about your talents. Think about your abilities. Think about the resources that you have. Think about what you've got that you can offer to the Lord. And so as I close, I want to give you an equation. Our limitations plus God's power equals abundant provision. Our limitations plus God's power equals abundant provision. So what are you trying to do for the Lord? What is it that you believe God wants you to do? It might be something so simple as forgive someone. It might be that you need to reach a lost person. It might be that you as a parent, you feel like you are just exhausted and you have nothing left to give your kids. Give what you've got. If you have just enough energy to pray with them before they go to bed, then pray with them. Give God what you have, and he will multiply that. So we have a God who cares about us. There's an old legend about a village long ago, and an earthquake came to that area and opened up this huge hole. And the whole village and the church were swallowed up in that hole, and that church went down in the hole. But the legend goes that even though nothing survived the earthquake, if you put your ear to the ground, you can still hear the church bells ringing. Now, that's a legend, but it does provide an example of the life of a person who gives everything to Christ, and they have an eternal impact. And the offering that they make to Christ is ringing in this life, and even after they themselves go into the ground, their life continues to ring to the glory of God and continue to bear fruit for eternity. Let's bow our heads. There's a lot right here in the Gospel of John. I can tell you this. When I read about the encounters that Jesus had with people, I just find that people who really met Jesus never walked away the same. So I want you to stop and assess, what are your resources? Can you pray? Can you play the piano? Can you talk? Can you just be kind to another person? Do you have money? Do you have a job where you come into contact with unbelievers? Do you have a friend who needs help? What are your resources? Would you offer those up to the Lord right now and say, Lord, you know what? Take this right here. I only have enough strength to do this. Take it. Multiply it. Use it. My limitation, God, your power, that equals abundant provision, and plant a seed, Lord, that will bear fruit for eternity. Father, as we come to you tonight, we are so thankful that our Lord Jesus fed 5,000, more than 5,000, with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that there were 12 baskets of leftovers. Father, I pray that you would help not a single one of us out of fear or feeling of lack to keep from giving you what we have. Help us to give you that small strength. Help us to give you that small ability. And we pray that your name would be lifted up and exalted. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.